Hello and welcome to episode 11 of the Factory Reset Podcast. This podcast is an attempt to get back to the simple, basic things that Jesus taught. In the last episode, I discussed Jesus' command not to store up wealth for ourselves on earth. To intentionally refrain from storing up for ourselves, to refrain from things like saving up for retirement, is very countercultural in a country like America. It does not make sense to most people. So this is one of the things that's going to set Jesus' followers apart from the world around them, especially in a place like the United States. And for those of us who have been storing up treasures for ourselves, in order to get our lives in line with what Jesus taught, we are going to have to stop it. And we're going to have to take that big chunk of money that we've been saving for ourselves, and we're going to have to use it for Jesus' mission. And then we're going to have to trust him with our future. And that will be very countercultural, not only in America, but even in the church in America. But this next command of Jesus and the principle that comes out of his teaching and example is going to make things even more interesting. Sell possessions and give to the poor. Back in the fall of 2014, my wife and I had recently been married, and we had a lot of people gift us with things that were to make our new apartment a comfortable environment, and that was nice of people to do for us. One of the gifts that we were given was an electric fireplace. Maybe you've seen one of these things before. It was made out of this really nice dark wood. It's about 4 feet tall, 5 feet wide. In the bottom of it, there was a screen which would create a fake fire. And then there was a heater right over the fake fire which would blow out hot air, mimicking the heat that comes from a real fire. So obviously this is the kind of thing that you're usually only going to see in the first world. And it was very nice to look at. And I used to really enjoy turning it on at night and sitting on the couch and just watching the fake flames dance around. We also had two cars. I had a Ford Focus and my wife had a Chevy Equinox. Some families might need more than one car, but we didn't have kids. In our case, it was just for convenience, not out of necessity. Unfortunately, my wife and I missed the opportunity to put this command of Jesus into practice, and we kept our nice possessions for ourselves until we were divorced. And then we negotiated over who would get what possession and splitting it all down the middle and all those kind of things, because neither of us were really followers of Jesus. Many of us today have these kind of things that we bought or inherited or which were given to us, expensive adult toys that only people in the first world can really afford to enjoy. Look around your home. Are there a bunch of things like that? Are there expensive things that you don't need? Things which don't really help you serve Jesus, but they're just there to make life nice. Things you just got because you liked them and you could afford them. Is there anything like that you might be able to get a decent amount of money for? Because if so, you have a wonderful opportunity. Jesus says in Luke 12, 32 to 34, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is a command. It's not advice. And Jesus gives us the same reason to do this that he gave for why we should not accumulate wealth. It's because where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. Our hearts tend to get attached to our things, and this is especially true of wealth we store up for ourselves and expensive and valuable possessions that we don't really need. And we as Christians want to be like sojourners in this world who put no hope in this place. We're not at home in this world. We want to spend whatever time we have here trying to make a difference for our King Jesus, eagerly waiting for the day he may return and acutely aware of the fact that any day could be our last day in this place. So we don't store up wealth here for ourselves, and we don't waste resources on nice possessions. Why are we going to invest in this life in that kind of way? We should be investing in the life to come, the age to come. But in this present evil age, which Christ gave himself to deliver us from, we should rid ourselves of unnecessary things that might slow us down or cause us to become attached to this place in the wrong kind of way. No, we want to be ready to leave this world at a moment's notice. In Luke 17, Jesus says, starting in verse 22, "The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. For people will tell you, 'There he is,' or 'Here he is.' Do not go running off after them. For the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning, which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark, and then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the housetop with possessions inside should go down to get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life will preserve it." We don't want to be like Lot's wife, who had too much invested in this world and hesitated to leave the things she loved behind. Hebrews 11 is sometimes called the Hall of Faith. It goes through a number of Old Testament heroes who did great things in the faith. It says of Abraham, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." And a few verses below that, it says, "All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth." People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. These people didn't put their hope in this life and in this place. They were putting all their eggs in a different basket. And these are people living prior to the coming of Jesus. So how much more should that be true of us who live on the other side of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus? But unfortunately, that's not the way most Christians live today, at least not in places like the United States. We tend to be thoroughly at home in this world, fully invested in this place, not ready for Jesus to return. For many of us, the kingdom of God is just a cool idea that we talk about, but it's not a reality that makes our lives really different from the people of the world around us. Our hearts are too attached to this place. And one of the reasons for that is our stuff. Jesus said that God is pleased to give us the kingdom, that great city, that heavenly country, those Old Testament saints were looking forward to, which they greeted from afar, the eternal kingdom of love, joy, and peace that we were all made for. God wants to give it to those who follow Christ. So sell your possessions and give to the poor. Invest in that coming kingdom. Detach your heart from this place so that when the time comes, you will be welcomed into that kingdom instead of being cast away from it. If you start doing this, if you start simplifying your life in this way and selling things that you don't need and giving to the poor, the people around you might think that you're nuts. And some of the Christians in your life might even try to talk you out of it, might try to talk you off the ledge because of the way it may challenge and convict them. Well, don't let that dissuade you from making a move on this and storing up treasure in heaven. But go for it. For a lot of us, this might sound horrifying, maybe because we're so comfortable. We've gotten to a place of great comfort. We've been climbing the ladder here in America. We finally got a nice life, and we finally got a nice church situation. And now I'm going to throw it all away? I'm really going to sell my summer house or my nice motorcycle or my sailboat? I'm going to sell my jewelry, my nice road bike, the equipment that I bought for my expensive hobby that eats up a lot of my time and energy and money, my unnecessarily nice dining room table, my fake fireplace. Really, I'm going to throw it away? And not only that, but I'm going to make waves in my church community, not only by simply setting this example, but by encouraging others to do this too? Am I really going to do that? Yes. Yes, friend, do it. Do it. Go for it. Go through with it. I really think that this is something that we should be able to get excited about. If you're someone who has accumulated a bunch of this kind of stuff, then feel blessed. Not because you have the stuff. That actually makes it harder for you, having all that stuff. But feel blessed because you get to put this teaching of Jesus into practice now. I'm actually kind of jealous, because each of those nice things that you have that you can get some money for is a wonderful opportunity to get rich in heaven, where it will actually last. So now each of those meaningless, worthless things you spent all that money on has become a wonderful opportunity for blessing, not only for you, but for the people you can help with the money that you'll get for it. Maybe you're listening to this and you're thinking that this is legalistic. No, obeying Jesus in faith is not legalism. It's faith. It's Christianity. Or I know that when I was first challenged to think about this issue, the objection that I raised was, well, how do I know when I've sold enough possessions? And of course, that's just a defense mechanism. Jesus didn't get specific about it like that. He just tells us to do it. So we can use some discernment. We can let the Spirit guide us as we decide what things to sell, what things to give away, and what things we should actually keep since they're legitimate needs or since they're actually useful to us in serving the Lord. You're not going to regret doing this. Not if you really understand the value of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven. How can we even begin to express how valuable it is? It's like a treasure hidden in a field. A man finds it and he sees that it is so valuable that he goes and sells everything he has so that he can buy that field. Most of us in the United States and in other countries like it, we can't see that treasure. We don't understand what God is offering to us. And instead, we collect earthly treasures that we're going to regret at the end of all this. Okay, moving on. The last point is the principle of necessity and usefulness. Necessity and usefulness. It's pretty straightforward. Once we have ceased to accumulate wealth for ourselves, if we were, and once we've sold possessions and given to the poor, if we had things that we could sell, there's still a principle that comes out of Jesus' teachings for how to use our resources going forward. And this is something that all of us can put into practice. It seems to me, when I look at everything Jesus says on this issue of greed, that we should try to spend money on ourselves only for things that are necessities or for things that are useful to us, things that actually help us to make a difference for the kingdom of God. Food, clothing, a place to live, and even those three things, we can find ways to spend a lot less on those things than many people spend in this country. So food, clothing, a place to live, and other things that are actually needed or useful for life to function. And whatever tools that we might need or which might help us to better serve Jesus and make a difference for him. There's not this rigid list of things that you can or cannot buy, but it's a principle that gets us moving in a certain direction. And we can listen to the Spirit and to our own conscience as we put it into practice. And it will make us very unusual people in this country and even in our church. We can find ways to spend less on ourselves. We can find ways to bring our quality of life and our cost of living down to a level that meets our needs. And that will allow us to maximize our ability to use our resources for God's kingdom and to help our neighbors. And it's a really challenging principle to live by because you might begin to realize just how addicted you are to certain things that we don't actually need. Things that we rely on for some kind of an escape from reality, or creature comforts that we use to make life enjoyable or that we use to cope with life. Once you begin to ask challenging questions like, do I really need this thing? Or is this thing or this activity that I'm doing, is this actually helping me to serve Jesus? Is this helping me or anyone else to get into his kingdom? Or can I see Jesus spending money on this thing? You start asking questions like that, it can begin to get really challenging. Because you may find that for many of the things you've been spending money on, the answer to those questions is no. And it may begin to make your life look very different from how it used to look. And that can be uncomfortable for us, and it can be uncomfortable for the people around us. Even the Christians around us will become uneasy about that. And that's okay. That's okay. Jesus and his disciples make people uneasy in a sinful world. The point isn't to make a list of rigid and unbending rules, but the point is to seek to love God and our neighbor with our spending. And that's going to mean a daily death to self, especially if you're in a country like America, where so many of us are so used to constantly buying things that we don't actually need. If you get going in that direction, and if you begin to panic, I know what that can feel like. There can be a very uncomfortable transition period here, a kind of withdrawal, and that will pass. I think we're always going to be challenged by what Jesus says here as we continue to move in this direction, but I think there's also sort of a shock to the system for people who are living in this incredibly self-indulgent culture when we begin to really think seriously about how we're using our Lord's resources. And when we then start to try to put this principle into practice, because we live in a bubble here in America, we have so many things available to us that we take for granted, things that are not necessities, lots of things that if we were to all of a sudden teleport to a place like Guatemala, for example, these things would all of a sudden be unavailable to us, and it would be a shock. It would be a big change all at once. That's what it can be like when you start trying to voluntarily put this principle into practice. And if you get going in this direction and you start to wonder, oh, maybe I'm, you know, freaking out too much, I'm overthinking this, probably not. You're probably not overthinking it. You're probably just adjusting to something that's really different. Most of us here in the first world are certainly not in any danger of overthinking this issue of greed and what we use our resources for. If anything, most of us are severely underthinking it and need to make some big changes. And as my good friend said to me a while back, it's better to take God too seriously than not seriously enough. In the next episode, I will discuss just how unlikely Jesus said it is for a rich person to actually take the plunge on this and respond to what he's saying. May God bless you always, whoever you are. Please send me a message if you'd like to talk about these things. And thank you so much for listening.